Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the great things about this job is that from time to time, someone that I've known for a long time and been witness to their career and seen them really live in a space of public service, sometimes as community leaders like our good friend Angela Lang, who frequently joins me as a guest here on this program, but also my next guest, who's been on the show a few times, but is now stepping up in a capacity as a candidate in a new way for a statewide office. She's served in the state legislature, and now she is one of the alderpersons, an alderwoman for the city of Milwaukee. She's been a tireless advocate for the LGBTQIA plus community, and I'm so pleased to have with me this afternoon newly announced candidate for Secretary of State, Jocasta Zamarripa. Thank you so much, Jocasta, for being here with us.
Thank you, Dawn, for having me. Maggie Dawn, for having me. This is an exciting opportunity, and I can't wait to talk to you about it
today. I know. It's amazing. This is going to be, I think, a really thrilling time for all of us. And well, one of the interesting things about our friendship going back a number of years is I have only ever had one name for you, and it's Maggie Dawn. It's not Maggie. It's Maggie Dawn, first and last name included. Tell us a little bit about why you first decided to run for an elected office. And tell us a little bit about your time in the state legislature.
Sure.
Because I think part of your career, what's interesting is you know, the move from the state legislature to the Common Council and now to a statewide office, and why, how different those different jobs are and how your career has taken that line over time, that evolution. So let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
Why run? I mean, the politics have been very difficult for very long. And why run for the state legislature?
So going way back when to the state legislature, it's funny. I love that there's a consistency to my story, to my narrative. And one of the reasons that I ultimately decided to run for office is because I was an active volunteer with the Democrats. And while I was getting more and more involved as a young adult in my volunteerism, I discovered that the district I lived in had the lowest voter turnout in the great state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
And I discovered that, gosh, even before Obama ran, I think I was volunteering for John Kerry the year that I, the election cycle that I discovered that I resided in the district with the lowest voter turnout in the state. And I, in that moment, knew that this was going to be my life's work, that I wanted to do everything I could to increase civic engagement in my community. And in particular, my district continues to be a supermajority Latino district. In particular, I wanted to increase civic engagement. I wanted to increase the vote in the Latino community. And even today, even though I have more reasons that I want to jump out there in a statewide, but I continue to have that goal to increase the political influence, the vote of the Latino community, the Latino population in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, the engagement is, you know, unless you're showing up and voting, unless you are organizing and getting activated and part of the political process, it's very easy for elected officials, not just from your own district, but more broadly, to ignore you.
Yes.
And that happens to every community's detriment, right? Even if you don't happen to be a Latino person that lives in your district, if your district gets ignored, you know, these have like knock-on impacts, and they have these very long-term results that you see, both either positive or negative, when certain constituencies have a lot of voice. And again, that voice expressed through organizing, but most importantly, by the showing up in the ballot box,
right?
You want to be influential, then you have to use the influence that you have, and that begets more influence, right?
Exactly.
You have to start with the baby steps in order to eventually have, again, more influence over your elected officials. So tell me a little bit about what it was like being in the state legislature, and can you contrast that with working for the city of Milwaukee's with the Common Council and the difference between those roles? I ask people who have served in both of these capacities this question because they're so different. And it's so fascinating to me. I've talked with former Alderman Bob Bauman, now a state representative. I've talked to a new state rep that used to be on the Beloit Village Board. And so those transitions are interesting to me because the way that you interact with constituents, what's possible, what's not, very different. What's your experience been like going from state legislature to a city legislature?
Yes, it is definitely. And I was elected in 2010. I served just about a decade in the state legislature and the state assembly, to be more specific, and then got elected in 2020 to serve in the city council, the common council here in Milwaukee. Honestly, I kind of wish I would have done it in the reverse. Because I think I could have. It's just interesting to know so much more about local politics, what local electeds go through, and having to deal with what we do to them at the state level. But I miss the legislature sometimes. I certainly missed it when I left in 2020 and became alder at the height of the pandemic.
Right.
And wondered momentarily if I had made the wrong decision because it was just such a difficult time in the city, as you can imagine, across the country. Trying to do everything we could to get folks, to figure out what we're going to do, one, and then finally getting the vaccine and then pushing to get people to get vaccinated and that whole hurdle. And, of course, the misinformation that was out there. It was such a daunting time, and I wondered if I made the wrong decision. But,
looking back now, what do you think?
Oh, I've got my sea legs. I think that as a alder in the city of Milwaukee, I have much more influence and power than I did as a Democrat in the minority my entire tenure in the legislature. So in that regard, I don't regret it. But I certainly, I like the caucuses. I think I thrive in a team, and there's not that in the council. It's nonpartisan.
Right.
You can't caucus, really, because it's much smaller numbers.
Yes.
So you can't have a walking quorum. And I miss the caucus. I really depended on the caucus. I thrived there for as much as it could be a little bit dysfunctional.
So for folks that don't know, let me this is a really fascinating piece of government, sort of detail operational stuff. And that is, on the state legislature, you can caucus with some of your party, probably not all of it, but goodly amounts of your party, sometimes all of it, because you do not equal a quorum, which triggers open meetings requirements. A quorum is the technical term for the minimum amount of people required for a legislative body to do business. But when you turn and you look in local government, because the body is smaller, it takes fewer bodies to constitute the minimum number of people required to do business, meaning a minimum number for a quorum. And therefore, it is much easier to inadvertently trigger
Correct.
Open meetings laws. This is generically referred to as a walking quorum. In other words, a bunch of legislators standing in a hall talking may in fact constitute a meeting that needs to be noticed and open to the public. So it's something that you have to be hyper aware of as a local elected official. And it just doesn't apply in the same way at the legislative level.
Correct. At the state legislature, the parties can caucus with their Republicans, the Assembly Republican caucus, they caucus, and that's completely allowable. And the Assembly Democrats, they caucus on their own. These things are tradition in the legislature and happen frequently. And you're exactly right. The same does not happen at the local level, at least not in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen at the local level. It's one of those bits of it's a technical thing, but it can really sometimes make an elected official stumble. Because people, again, at the local level, those meetings are highly accessible. People know when they're happening. They are much more apt, especially if you're a Milwaukeean, to show up at a common council meeting than they might be to drive all the way to Madison to show up at a committee hearing. So there's this very intimate relationship. That's the best word I can use to describe it, between local elected officials and their constituents, because you are sort of the first line of help in many ways.
We're on the front line, the alders. And that, I often say, is the beauty and the beast of it.
Sure.
Because I love being I love the fact that I do feel I'm on the front lines. I love being that much closer to my people. But at the same time, man, the constituency sometimes seems meaner than what I experienced when I was a state representative.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's the political, the times we're living in right now, or if it's the office. And because you're an alder on the front lines, you're the first line of defense. You're the first one that constituent is going to give an earful to.
Yes. On things that are both within a city's powers to address and matters beyond. One of
Correct.
The things you began by saying, you have a much keener sense for how the state's decisions sort of trickle into and impact municipalities, especially when it comes to municipal budgets. It's one of those things that, having worked at various levels of government in my career, I have always wished that elected officials would have like an onboarding for legislators, especially, where it shows how all of these things link together and how federal grants work that are administered by states and how sometimes those grant dollars then get passed down into city departments or municipal departments and the interactions and where those jurisdictional overlaps are and where the tension points are to help especially very newly elected officials get their arms around that, because it's one of the more complicated things. Let's turn a little bit to the Secretary of State's office and what it does in Wisconsin, and help people understand what does the Secretary of State do in a state like Wisconsin? Why is this an important office? Why should people care about the election? Because this was one of those offices that for many years, I don't think most people in the state were even, they might see it on the ballot, but it wasn't something that was top of mind for a lot of people. And that's changing a bit. Tell us about, what does the Secretary of State do?
Well, the Secretary of State, and honestly, the truth is the Republicans have done a lot to gut the position. But if you ask our current Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski,
yes,
she'll tell you there's still a tremendous amount of responsibility in the office. I'm not yet elected, but our Madam Secretary of State Godlewski validates all vital records in the state. So about 15,000 cases per year come through her office. Also, the Secretary of State sits on the Board of Commissioner of Public Lands, and they manage about a $1.5 billion budget that really is doled out to libraries.
Mm.
And so it's a board that consists of the Secretary of State, the Treasurer, and the Attorney General. And so that's a very important responsibility. They meet every other week. And then last but not least, Madam Secretary of State made sure that I realized that I am in charge. I'm sorry, the Secretary of State, rather.
Yes.
I'm being overly confident. The Secretary of State is in charge of keeping record of the oaths of office. For our legislators, when I became a state rep, I had to sign an oath of office. The Secretary of State manages and maintains all of those. And so they can be crucial when we have Republicans messing around and trying to decertify elections.
Yes. So we're going to talk more about that precise point and how these elections, from about 10 years ago to today, the attention level has changed dramatically. We want to dispel a little bit of the mythology about what the Wisconsin Secretary of State's powers may be, or more importantly, are not anymore in this state. I'm joined by City of Milwaukee Alderwoman Jocasta Zamarripa, former state representative, newly announced candidate to be Wisconsin